This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Brock Heward is with us now from ESPN up in the Seattle area. Welcome in, Brock. How are you today?
Good morning, man. Yeah, that was a guy, number one. Number two, I remember very vividly a picture that was me, my senior year of high school. I was fortunate to win a pretty big award, and there were some different pictures in the newspaper. And I remember my mom coming into my room about the same time, about 5:30, which it is out here in Seattle this morning. She came in my room, and she's like, "It's not that bad. Okay, really, it's not that bad." And I'm like, "What? What's that?" She's like, "The picture, like, you know, and Grandpa already called the photographer. They're going to try to make it right." And I, like, wake up, like, what? And it is the worst picture. Like, I'm looking one way. My face is going the other way. I mean, I look as ugly. I'm already struggling in that capacity. But I look as awful and as ugly as you can. And it's, like, spread across the sports page. And that's what I thought with Brandi Chastain yesterday, standing up in front of that bust of some guy that it does look like Bill Parcells. It's not her. It doesn't even look anything like her. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is crazy. People can look at it. We've tweeted it out. I said Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Dunaway said Martin Sheen, and I think Lance has the winner, the leader in the clubhouse. He said Jonathan Winters. If you remember the old actor, Jonathan Winters,
yeah.
Spot on.
Bad look.
And the dude kind of has my hair, like a big cowlick. It doesn't even have her hair. There's no part of that.
It's awful.
It is Brandi Chastain at all.
Brock, can I start with a really random Pac-12 question?
Sure.
We talk about these new Power 5 coaches. One guy we never mention is the former Oregon State quarterback, Jonathan Smith. And he's really done an interesting job assembling his staff and bringing in, you know, longtime Oregon State Beavers. I know it's not a great program by any means. They went 1-11 last year. But what's your take right now on Jonathan Smith?
Yeah, I think you nail it right there. He put together a tremendous staff. When some of those names came about, you started to see him pulling some coaches from some other Power 5 conferences. I think it spoke to a couple of things. I think it spoke to Jonathan Smith and this being his absolute dream job, that he's going to give every fiber of his being to find success there. And I also think, number two, that Corvallis is a pretty cool little town. You know, one of those towns that Mike Riley came back for, that, you know, all his family's there. He's on staff with Jonathan. He's riding his bike to work every day. Amidst some of the chaos and the pressures of college football, you have some of these little pockets, some of these little towns where you can get in there. And if you're a coach, I can just go to work. I don't have to worry about 100 other things. I don't have to worry about maybe the caliber of kids that we've got to recruit and the stars that have to be here year in and year out, that we can recruit, that we can develop, that we can get the kind of kids that Corvallis and turning this program will mean something very, very special to them, much like Jonathan Smith was a part of when he was a player a couple decades ago.
Athlon Magazine's the first magazine out with their top 25. They've got Michigan at number 5, Brock, and since we last talked with you, Shea Patterson is cleared at quarterback there. You've seen Michigan recently after they lost so many people to the NFL. They were very young last year. Do you picture that program right now being in the conversation with Ohio State and in the conversation as a top 5 team?
I do. I have them in my top 10 and pretty close to that spot, in fact. And they're going to be loaded on defense. I love their mindset. They don't mess around. At all three levels of that defense, they're going to be dominant. Rashawn Gary, their defensive lineman, is going to be fighting with Ed Oliver and those boys at Clemson to be a top 5 pick. So you're going to get, you know, a highly motivated group on that side of it. And now you've got somebody that can take, I think, a little bit of the burden and some of the pressure off of Jim Harbaugh, where everything doesn't have to be perfect, where, you know, over the last few years, unfortunately, at that position, for him and who he had playing largely, things had to be clean, the pocket had to be good, everything had to be in rhythm, and that's hard to do in that division, playing against Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan State and what you got to battle with. And, you know, it's the Big Ten East, it's the SEC West. Those are the two superpowers, I think, in this country right now, as far as college football goes. And we're going to get to learn very, very easily, very quickly, and throw Notre Dame in that mix as well, exactly where they are. But I would put them right around that mark as well.
Follow Brock Huard on Twitter, at Brock ESPN. He's on the Mick Ultra Pure Gold Hotline. I'm not going to ask you to break down Joe Burrow unless you have some amazing insight on him, because we've barely seen the guy play. But it looks like he's going to be in the battle for the starting job at LSU. What I am going to ask you is, how tricky is that in the locker room, especially at the you quarterbacks, your fragile egos, Brock? How tricky is that for a coach to mix in guys he's recruited and sold on the program versus a guy that he's just brought in that looks like he's going to come in to be the starter?
Yeah, that's a good, fair question, and it certainly can be tricky. And this has not been, like aces everywhere we've seen this. Russell Wilson set the bar pretty awfully high when he went to Wisconsin, but I use him as an example because I've gotten to know him here in Seattle fairly well. And much like he did with the Seattle Seahawks, when he came into his first rookie minicamp, everybody knew. Everybody on that team knew. All the coaches knew, wow, this guy's a little bit different. When he landed in Madison, Wisconsin, it didn't take Brett Bielema long. If you ever run into him, ask him about that. How long it took those folks there in Madison to realize, because they had the same thing. They had incumbent guys, and that's a developmental program, and they work really hard at Wisconsin, and nothing's ever handed to you. And I think Russell loved that aspect of it, and it didn't take long before the team, before the players, voted him captain of that team. So that is always a dynamic that I try to listen for and look for and watch for, is what do those players think? I don't think we have seen one of these grad transfers come in and be a captain the way that Russell has. And likewise, we haven't seen them necessarily come over and take a team to, in his case, the Rose Bowl in a Big Ten championship game and win and everything else. So that's what I would look for. You're right. The ego, the sensitivities, all of those things, personalities play a role. But how quickly can he win over those teammates? And do you see a C on that chest, as he did way back when with Russell, that I think set the tone for that whole move?
More success over the next 5 years, Willie Taggart at Florida State or Dan Mullen at Florida?
Ooh, that is a great question. I'm going to say Willie Taggart, and that's a little bit more probably a lean on the ACC versus, what Dan's got in the SEC. And he wanted to go back there. He knows it. He knows the conference very well. Obviously, he gets out of the SEC West and into the East there, where now, unfortunately, Kirby is with some others. But I would think that, much like Jimbo had a pretty good run at Florida State and Bobby before him, and Willie had some opportunities there recruiting in that state, the tradition, the history, the opportunity there to, I think, have some more sustained success or maybe even a quicker ramp up to success in Tallahassee than Dan does with the challenges in that conference.
I know you've met him in your travels broadcasting. Pat Fitzgerald, a pretty good opener with Purdue coming up 100 days from now. What kind of coach is he, and what kind of respect do you have for him and what he's done at a place like Northwestern?
Yeah, you almost spin that all the way back to our first conversation with Jonathan Smith and Corvallis at Oregon State. You can kind of point to Pat, I think, in much the same vein of this is the job that he wanted. I mean, this is his program inside and out. This is the program that Pat turned at Northwestern, kind of like Jonathan Smith did with Mike Riley and Corvallis way back when, kind of the same era, to be honest with you, in those 1990s. So Pat knows what he is, what he isn't, what he's got there at Northwestern. And for the first time, he's got a facility to recruit to there in Chicago on the lake that is, I've done Northwestern games, I think, the last 3 years, and I've seen all the pictures and all the images, but I know they're getting in there this summer, and I know that he felt like that was something they had to have, that they are in any way going to try to compete with the Michigans and the Ohio States and what they've got to deal with in their conference. You had to have some more tools, and that facility is going to, I think, enable a recruit here or there that he's not gotten in the past decade or so, maybe make that turn and continue to build upon his success.
Okay, serious question here. Who shuts it down and retires first, Pete Carroll or Bill Snyder at K-State?
And you guys are all over this morning, 100 days to go, and you are just on it, Dan. These are great questions. I think Bill Snyder, I saw him a couple weeks ago down at all the coaches' meetings down in Arizona. It was a blast, man. And you would have loved this. I didn't even know these things existed, like the winter meetings for college sports and the Big Ten and the Big 12, the Pac-12, the Mountain West, all of them gathered in Arizona a couple weeks ago. And I saw Bill, and I have the utmost respect for him. But he's logged a lot more miles than Pete Carroll has. And Pete feels like with his owner and his quarterback and his GM out here in Seattle, he is never out of it. He's so gassed up to turn this thing around after a couple disappointing seasons. So So in that case, I'd put Pete Carroll ahead of Bill.
All right, he is Brock Huard. Follow Brock on Twitter at at Brock ESPN. Don't go to ESPN Brock. I don't even know what that is. At Brock ESPN is where you follow him on Twitter, and he is always kind with his time. Thank you very much, Brock. Have a great day.
You got it. In 1995, it was Lou Kit Wong that took that picture of me. That is as awful as Brandi Chastain.
You remember the photographer's name?
Wow. Of course he does.
My grandpa was so mad. My Dutch grandpa was so mad. He gave that guy an earful or two. So I'll try to find it and send it to you guys, and I think you'll agree that is one ugly picture.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.